I want to talk to you this morning a little bit on a topic that as I came up with the title, I thought, boy, I could talk on this for a year, maybe longer. You know, this could be a real long series. I entitled this morning's message, I Have Issues. I have issues. I got issues. Man, I'll leave it to Russ to take my first joke. You know, he's already got it, you know. Congratulations to you. I think this morning that the truth from God's word will be relevant to everyone in here, because I doubt that I'm alone in the fact of having issues. I have lots of them. But, you know, I thought about some of the issues of life, and just to give you maybe start off with a little bit of generalization, or maybe you can identify with some of these pictures, and then I'll go to some that are more specific to me. But I have a picture of one that says, you know, I have more issues than a magazine, or something like that. Is that what Russ, you know, what Russ said? You know, I have more issues than a magazine. Or how about this one? You know, this is definitely one of mine. And come on, Muffy, you're in my club here. I have control issues. and isn't that pretty good? You know, maybe we ought to get one of those plaques for me, Allison. Maybe I need one of those. I like this one. Now, this is my wife, and this is in the grocery store. Whenever we go to Publix or something, I get at this lecture. You know, maybe you have trust issues because people lie to you. Anybody have this issue with the potato chips? You know, new, bigger size. Some of you are looking like, I don't get it. I just see potato chips. All right. Go shopping with my wife. She'll explain it to you. I trust me, she will. And then I saw one that I thought maybe encapsulates all of us. You know, I don't have issues. I am an issue. And I think that maybe comes to the core of what we're dealing with today. In my own life, you know, there's certain things that I have that are issues, and I bet you have a few. You know, I'm one of those guys, for example, that I don't like anything with mustard on it. I can't stand mustard. It just makes me, you know, do you not like mustard either? Oh, see, maybe it's people with control issues don't like mustard. I don't know, because it gets in your mouth and you have no control over it. Gets in my mouth, bad things happen. We'll leave that there. I have a friend of mine that's from Wisconsin, and he's from Wisconsin and he doesn't like cheese. Yeah, I think we're getting volunteers. I think we know who that is here in the church this morning, and I think we could all agree that he's got issues. that's bad, you know. I have issues because I have to clean out every dish before I put it in the dishwasher. Do any other friends like that? Muffy and I know this. Oh, I got it. There's a few of us. I have to clean out my email or my missed calls, because I cannot stand to have those little numbers over my icons on my iPhone. Does anybody else have that issue? You know, it just gnaws at me, you know. So I wish I could find a way, and maybe smart people can tell me there's a way I could get rid of that, where I don't have to know that I've got 485 emails that I haven't read that come from every insurance company and every new product there ever was. I have to do it. And then if I get on Jenny's phone, it says, you know, 1,400 and something. How do you live like this? I have issues, right? I also, when it comes to my phone, I'm one of these guys that my iPhone or my iPad, I have to clean it off all the time, the screen. I can't stand the fingerprints all over it. So I have to carry around one of those little cloths that magically wipes it off. I see I've struck a nerve with some of you there, you know. I don't know how some of y'all on your phones, you can even read what's on there, because it's got like a half inch thick of human fingerprint grease. Last week's pizza and everything on there, and I have to clean it off, you know. It's just I have issues. But I also have issues that maybe, if you want to call them, if those aren't serious enough, you know. I don't know how your personality is. My personality, sometimes I can be too sensitive to critical words, you know, because I have issues. Sometimes I can easily give in to fear and worry over things, especially in the lives of people that I love even more than my own, because I have issues. I can focus too much on my own failures and have a hard time letting go of things because I have issues. I can experience depression for apparently no reason at all because I have issues. I have trust issues because I've been betrayed and hurt deeply, and I have issues. I often drop things, I trip, I fall, and I live in chronic pain because I have issues. We can end the sermon there. Now this morning, let's pray for a lot. I have issues. And so this morning, I wanted to talk about issues in our lives and some of the issues that I'm sure you are dealing with. They may not be the same ones that I am, although I'm sure some of the ones I just touched on, I imagine many of you here this morning are dealing with some of those for varying reasons in your life. And I want to go to Mark chapter number 5 in your Bibles this morning. Mark chapter number 5. And I want to introduce to you a lady, a woman who the Bible says had an issue. And I want to learn some things from the scripture this morning from Mark chapter number 5. And we are going to begin at verse number 25. And this is the story of the woman who has an issue of blood. It's interesting, this particular story is given to us in various forms in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So three of the Gospels record this particular episode. I think it's an important one. I want you to understand, in its greater context, Jesus was demonstrating his power over diseases and over death, and to demonstrate, you know, that he was the Messiah, or maybe this was post-unpardonable sin. Anyway, demonstrating his power, and Jairus came to him, a ruler of the synagogue, and said, my daughter, 12-year-old daughter, is dying. Would you come heal her? And so Jesus is walking across town to heal a young girl that is on the very verge of death. And in the middle of him going, this is where we find the story we're going to read this morning. And I want to read the story, then we're going to look at three applications and be done this morning. But look with me at Mark chapter 5. Let's read this story. Mark 5, beginning at verse 25. The Bible says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue, she had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard that Jesus came, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?' And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" Well, let me pray with you for a moment here, and then let's look at the dealing with issues. Lord, it's been good to be here this morning and already sing about the coming day where we'll go to heaven. Looking forward to that day as we look at our world around us. Lord, our planet is a mess. Lord, I pray you'd help us as your children today to be faithful servants. Lord, if there's one here today that is discouraged or has been dealing with an issue for some length of time, may this be the day that they see the great need to deal with the issue. And Lord, I thank you for the story of this woman and her example to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. The Bible says this woman had an issue of blood. Now, without getting too graphic or too doctor, because I'm not really a doctor here this morning, I am not. But when it says this woman had an issue of blood, this was a woman thing. Okay? The kids are out at junior church. Do you guys understand what I'm talking about? It was a woman thing. It's one of those times that all the men say, "Well, I'm really thankful that God made me a man and not a woman." All right, that's not to be a sexist or nothing. I just admire that you women are just tougher than us. And she had a woman issue that maybe a man might not totally identify with, but it was an issue. Matter of fact, as she would continually be bleeding, which was her root issue, the root medical cause, she would bleed and bleed and bleed, and the Bible tells she did it for 12 years. Well, the Bible tells us in Leviticus chapter number 17, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it upon the altar to make atonement for your souls." That the life, the physical life of human beings, the Bible has said for a long time, is contained in the blood. Matter of fact, remember there was a while where science, modern science, told us that if you got really sick, the way to get rid of the sickness was to take the bad blood out. Right? Remember that? That's how President Washington died. They bled him to death, basically, I understand it. The Bible, if they'd have trusted the Bible said, no, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You need your blood. And it is true physically and is also true spiritually, as we need a blood transfusion from the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, if you lose your blood, you eventually lose your life. And this morning, in your life and in my life, I have issues. And those issues are much like the issue that this lady had. It's this issue she had drained the lifeblood literally out of her. And so the issues that you have and the issues that I have, if they are not properly dealt with, those issues will literally drain the life out of you. And you all know I'm telling truth. Drains the life right out of us. Now this woman was very eager and desperate. She tried everything to deal with her issue, but she eventually does deal with it. And as we begin this morning, without raising your hand, without, I'm not asking for a verbal response, and don't nod on your spouse either. Okay, don't tell us, all right? But what's your issue? You know, I think the reality of, as much as we want to deny some of the issues of our life, and why am I as angry as I am? Why am I as bitter as I'm? Usually, we really know what the issue is. We just don't want to ask. We don't want to deal with it. So I challenge you to begin with this morning to ask, what is your issue? And as we go through this story, really I'm going to take the first few verses here. And as I studied this week, I kept trying to find out, you know, somewhat how to fix it. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. But as I prayed on this and I read over this over and over, the Holy Spirit kind of revealed to me that this lady, as we hear this story, the Bible records for us what will not fix your issue. I'm going to tell you eventually what will, but I want to start this morning by sharing with you three things that will not fix your issue. Because I think as we go through these three things, you're going to find in your life, I know in my life, I have tried one, if not all, of these issues or all these methods to fix my issue, and can tell you it doesn't work, as Scripture is going to give us the example here, all right? So the first thing that will not fix your issue is, number one, time is not the solution. Time is not the solution. Notice in verse number 25, the Bible says, and a certain woman, God knew all about her, had an issue of blood 12 years. 12 years. You ever had anything wrong with you for 12 years? Some of you say, yeah, from the moment I was born, I've had things wrong with me. But a specific medical condition for 12 years. I can tell you, as somebody who lives with a chronic illness and is dealing with a disease that the doctors say is somewhat incurable, I've only dealt with it half that long. And I can tell you that it feels a lot longer than that. And if you had an issue that dominates your life, and it's dominated your life for well over a decade, you know what I'm talking about. And one of the temptations is we have this idea that if we just get enough time away from it, that the old saying that time heals all wounds. Ever heard that? Is that a true statement? Well, I thought about that this week, and you know, I identify with it, because sometimes I think if I just ignore it long enough, it'll go away. You know, sometimes, especially for the younger people that are watching us today, if you're, you know, you're in your teens, your 20s, your 30s or something. When I was in my teens and my 20s and my 30s, there was a lot of issues in life that I thought I could make certain decisions in my life. And even if I blew it, I made a stupid decision that I knew God didn't want me to make, that I would just get over it. Because look at all the old people around there. They're all over their issues. Now that I'm old, I'm not over my issues. You know, they hang around. And one of the great lies that Satan tells our young people is, I can choose to do some action, or I can adopt some attitude in my life. And if I give it enough time, even if it begins to develop a hurt in my life, if I just kind of put it in the back closet, over time it'll go away. And this lady had been dealing with issues for 12 years and she still had it. You see, we think it'll go away, and no, it won't. Now, the only way you could say that time heals all wounds is if we leave the time of the finite and we enter into the time of the infinite. Now I'm getting deep. In other words, time does heal all wounds if you enter into eternal life. If you enter without Christ and you enter into eternity with your sins not atoned for, you'll enter into eternal death and you'll still have your issues. But if you enter into eternal life through the offer of forgiveness that's found in the finished work of Jesus Christ, if you receive that cleansing that he's offering for you freely by simple faith, you can enter into eternal life. And I'm thankful to know, as a child of God, that there is a day coming where my issues are going to be dealt with. Woo, that'll be a good day. And I'm glad as a Christian that living and walking wounded through this life and dealing with these issues, that I have a certainty that I know the time is going to come where the issues are going to be solved. But apart from Christ, there is no such hope. That's why I'm so thankful to be a Christian, and I don't understand why everybody doesn't choose said forgiveness. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. In other words, if there's something you think is going to happen in a certain amount of time, but it's not happening, it eventually makes you sick. It makes you discouraged. It might give you despair. It might bring you to depression. And I think sometimes we think in our lives we have some issue and we just ignore it and we put it away and we think, well, as the years go by and the time goes by, it'll just magically go away. And no, it won't. I wrote down this. This is profound. I'm going to be profound for a second time this morning. If time healed all wounds, all old people would be happy. You met any old people? Look around here this morning. I'm not making any suggestions on, you know. Now, I have met some very joyous old people. So I don't want to castigate all old people. Matter of fact, I spent a lot of my years, Jenny will tell you, I used to run retirement centers, and I worked in full care nursing care centers for a while. But yet I found on balance, most folks over the age of, yeah, whatever you think is old, I'm not going there. They can be some of the most ornery and cranky people. And I'm convinced one of the real reasons for that is because they've had issues in their life that they've never dealt with, and now they're old and they've realized they still have them. Time is not the solution. Matter of fact, I had Allie get me... Oh, I dropped out there, guys. Didn't work. Well, now we lost it again. Matter of fact... This is just like a great illustration, Matt. Not only has it gotten not better, but it looks like it's getting worse. The space was longer. We're having this problem where my microphone just cuts out, and we think we're getting some interference. So whoever's doing that in here, you are my issue. So we are aware of the issue, and I've got my networking specialist and my computer specialist and my technology genius specialist. That's Tommy, Oscar, Emery, and then I got the band leader, Matt, all working on it. And yet it's still broken. I don't know. Anyway, time doesn't heal anything. It just teaches us how to live with pain. A lot of truth there, isn't there? We just learn how to live with the pain. And I guess I want to challenge you this morning. Is that really necessary? I have issues. Number one thing I learned from this lady in the story is time is not the solution. Second thing I learned in the story is people are not the solution. Notice in verse number 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And anybody who's had any serious medical issue here this morning can say a hearty amen. And if you're on government insurance, we say a double hearty amen. It ain't working. People are not the solution. I am sure when she first got sick that she probably initially went to her spouse. And then as it didn't get better, she went and talked to her family and her extended family. And then the family said, well, let's send you to the doctors. And maybe they were people of some kind of means. And yet all the money that she had in her life, she was willing to spend. And I'll tell you, when you have an issue, number one, money won't solve it either. But what kind of money would you be willing to exchange to fix your issue? Whether it's a physical issue or whether it's an emotional issue, I think if you've got any significant issues, which again, if you're an old person, you probably do, I think most of us would agree this morning, if money could solve my problem, I would pay the money. Matter of fact, some of us have paid a lot of money to try to solve our issues. And just like this lady, I can certainly be one to tell you, I have traveled in many places across this country. I have traveled thousands of miles to go see doctors and that, and have really, if nothing better, then in my opinion, I'm just worse. And all I really have to show for it is I'm broke. Amen. Hang on, you'll get there. You know, the irony about her going to all these people is in the Old Testament Mosaic law, because of the specific issue that she had, Mosaic law talked about a woman who had an issue of blood. And she would be, as long as she had this issue, she would be considered ceremonially unclean. In other words, in that day and age, she was not allowed to go into the temple. She was not allowed to participate in the holiday things of the Old Testament feasts. She couldn't touch anybody, and if she touched them, then they had to go through a ceremonial cleansing. So if she did get a hug, the person who gave you the hug then had to go down and get themselves cleansed before they could go offer sacrifices. And let's just say that her issues separated her from people. Ooh, preacher, that's good. You know why many of us and most of us live in loneliness? Because we have issues. And the reason that you have a lot of fractured relationships is probably some root issue, but you can give a hearty amen, and I think to some degree all of us understand this, that issues happen. Maybe it's an issue that was your fault. Maybe it wasn't your fault. Sometimes it doesn't matter. But it separates us. That's why when you get into a marriage, if you get issues in your marriage, you know, if you think time is just going to heal it and it's just going to magic, no, it won't. And if you think that the solution is fundamentally found in that person, I'll tell you once again, you are mistaken. That person is not capable of giving you the kind of full healing. Now, can people put a temporary salve on things? Yes. Can good people be a help along the way with the issues? Yes. But is ultimately the solution found in people? I would argue no. How often do we look at people to solve our issues only to end up even more broken? How many times have I found a woman who was in a broken relationship or a broken marriage, and if you're really not careful, matter of fact, statistics say, if you've had that in your past, you better be doubly careful, because you find some guy, and women will come to me and say, well, I've met this new guy, and he's really helping me. He's solving all my issues. Yeah, just give it time. You know, all you women who found the perfect man. Well, you say, I found this doctor, I found this pastor, I found this psychiatrist, whoever you think it is, I'm here to tell you that the root issues and the deep issues of our lives, mankind does not have the solution for. They don't. So what this lady did is she went to the professionals. And again, it's nothing wrong with trying to do that, but I'm talking about root deep issues. I will tell you, somebody who lives with a disease that right now science can't solve, I'm reminded all the time that people, we think we know so much, and I'm thankful that mankind has learned a bunch of stuff, but I would still submit to you, when it comes to understanding our human bodies, the way our brains actually function, we are still just, we don't know a whole lot. We think we do at times, but we don't have the solutions. And I'm here, I'm a personal testimony to that fact. So she goes to the professionals. Now, when you look into this and you read that she went to the doctors, many times we think in our mind, because we read this in a 21st century American mindset, you know, she went to the 24-hour walk-in clinic. That's not what we're talking about. In that day and age, doctors, the people who are medical, they did have folks that were involved in medical, but it generally was always tied around spiritual issues. And so a lot of times the people who were going to help you medically were also the same ones who help you spiritually, whether they were Sadducees or Pharisees or priests. So they're very interwoven together. And it's interesting that we can know from the writings from Jewish first and second century rabbis in the Talmud. Now, do you know what the Talmud is? Sometimes I say these words and I understand, because I have no idea what the Talmud is. The Talmud is, and I think I had Allie get me a slide for you. It's the oral traditions. You've got what they call the Torah, or the scriptures, the Old Testament. Orthodox Jews, you know, represent the writings and the prophets and the Torah. Did it go all day? Oh, this isn't good, Matt Swofford. When I turned my head, testing, Ooh, Doug Stanley, you are very observant to my issues. You need to be on the tech team. All right, you are. It was your wife that noticed. All right. I will hold very still. No, I won't. Looks like you guys have to listen up when we lose the microphone. All right. I have that slide memorized, all right? No big deal. The Talmud's the oral tradition, and it's made up of two different books inside of that make up the book, kind of like the Bible's the Old and the New Testament. You have the Gemara and the Mishnah. And the Mishnah is the actual oral traditions that they believe came down originally from Moses. And then the Gemara is basically commentary on that. And so we can go back and we can read out of the Talmud what the doctors of that day would have told a woman with this particular issue, what she ought to do. Now, I'm going to read this to you, and this is probably going to not make a whole lot of sense to you, but you know, that's okay. I might have lost it. Did I lose it? Hopefully I didn't lose it. No, I don't think I lost it. I don't have this one memorized, believe it or not. There we go. I got it. The rabbi said what they had to do was go take some gum from Alexandria and some aluminum, basically, and some crocus something the weight of a zuzu each. So a bunch of stuff from Alexandria, some crocodile stuff and some gum, and you put it all together, you mix it all together, and they said, put it in a little glass of wine and give it to the woman that has an issue of blood. But they said, if this fails, then you take some Persian onions, 9 logs of Persian onions. Yay! Boil them in the wine and then give it to her to drink. And then say, arise from thy flux. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? All of my chronic sick people. But if this doesn't work, set her in a place where 2 streets meet. Set her in the middle of a crossroads. And let her hold a cup of wine in her hand. And while she's there, let somebody sneak up behind her and scare her and say, arise from thy flux. But if that does no good, take a handful of cumin and a handful of the same, the crocus, and a handful of funu Greek something or other, and boil this stuff together and give it to her to drink and say, arise from thy flux. But if this also fails, you're going to love this one, dig 7 trenches. And then take in the 7 trenches and burn in them some cuttings of vines that are less than 4 years old. And then after the vines have burned out and there's ashes there, take her with a cup of wine and set her in each ditch, 1 at a time, in the ashes. And as you sit in there, set over her and say, arise from thy flux, and have her move from 1 ditch to the next till she goes to all 7 ditches, and then say, arise from thy flux. But if this fails, we got nothing else. Now, it is very likely that not only does woman go through all that, but for every one of those little concoctions she paid for. Sound familiar? The more things change, the more they stay the same. It didn't work. She suffered many things at the hands of the physicians. And I thought to myself, how often do people that sometimes mean us well and maybe they're trying to help, but they just end up making matters worse. And if you look to people to solve your fundamental issues, you're going to find that that relationship, that boy, that girl, whatever, that doctor, it doesn't work. And all we end up most of the time is broke and broke. No wonder she was worse. And so she comes to the end of it all, and she's learned now that time was not the solution, that people were not the solution, and then thirdly, religion was not the solution. Religion. Now, remember, we studied a couple weeks ago what true religion is. I'm talking about false religion here, the religion of man. And notice in verse 27 and 28, when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. So she comes up with a plan. She hears Jesus in town. And basically what she says is, I'm going to sneak up on Jesus. I'm going to touch, I think Mark's account or Luke's account says, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment. Now, if you know anything about the garments of Jews of that day, they were required by law to what they call their zitzits, I think, or tzitzits, I don't know what they're the little tassels on the end of their robes that they're required to wear by Old Testament law. And basically, she was going to get down and either on the bottom of his elbow or on the ones on the bottom of his robe, probably the ones on the bottom of his robe, and just touch one of those tassels. That's all she felt like she needed to touch, and she said, then I'll be better. She said, if I do this, then I'll be cured. As I've just showed you, if I told you this morning to get healed of your issue, we were going to go dig 7 trenches in the backyard and burn some ash and sit you in the ash, how many of you would be willing to do that and then pay me big money to have it done? Because, you know, I have to dig 7 trenches. Actually, I'd have Mike Jones and Josh Jones dig the trench, you know, somebody who knows how to dig a trench. Would you do that? If I said that I knew that if you sat in 7 ditches that it would cure your cancer, would you do it? Well, all of a sudden some of you are thinking. You know why I know you're thinking about it? Because you become really desperate and realize the finality of your issue. And lest we think that these people were crazy back then and we're a lot more sophisticated now, I'm not so sure about that. How many people think they can fool God, they can sneak up on God, and we can do some religious thing, some godly thing, and I'll be healed? I can donate some money to a church or some good cause. I'm amazed at how many crazy things people will do to themselves to deal with an issue. There are a group of people that believe that you can handle snakes. They take some verses out, I think it's out of Matthew, where, you know, if you have power over snakes, and Dale, one of our members, can tell you don't handle snakes. Even little ones, they bite and it doesn't go well. I know people that burn themselves or deny themselves or eat crazy things. I have known people that literally believed if they ate a certain kind of dirt. And I'm really not even trying to be funny. I know people that pierce themselves. All these things that they can appease the gods or do some religious thing that if I just do it in the quietness where no one else is looking and out of the sincerity of my heart, you know, if I just do it, it'll cure it. And I'm here to tell you that going through religiosity, just going through that, will not cure your problem. You say, but she got better. Yes, she did. But notice in our story, Jesus wants to make something very clear to her. Notice in verse number 29, it says, and straightway, she does this, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. You know, the fundamental thing that Jesus wanted her to know was that it was her faith that solved her issue. Jesus stops in the middle of this thronging of people on his way to go, you know, heal this other girl, this little girl that was near death. And as he's on his way, this lady touches him and is healed. And Jesus stops and says, who touches me? Now, whenever God asks a question, understand, he already knows the answer. He ain't asking the question so that you and I can give him a helpful information. Like the disciples came around and said, Jesus, you see all these people here? And you're asking who touched thee? You know, I'm sure Jesus is going, Peter. Oh. So then you have to ask the question, why is he asking the question? He's not asking the question so he can learn something. He's asking the question so you and I can learn something. He asked the question because he knew what had happened. And he did not want this woman walking away and for the rest of her life going around and saying, you know, I had this issue, and I snuck up on Jesus, and I touched his little tassel, and I got healed. Let's go see if we can find Jesus' tassels. Trust me, ask the Roman Catholic Church. If we had Jesus' tassels, people would be all over the world trying to touch them. Jesus said, I want you to know, it's not the touching, it's not the sneaking up, it's faith. You believed in me. That's what healed you, and I want you to know that. Jesus Christ, the infinite one, who stepped into time, has time for her. You know, as I told you the story, he was on his way to heal a little 12-year-old girl that was very near death. He was on an urgent mission. And this morning, as somebody who has an issue, a significant issue, I can tell you, and I have friends of mine here this morning that are at least my age or older that have significant issues. If I said to you this morning, either you can be healed of your issue that's very chronic and very serious, or a 12-year-old kid can get healed, what would you choose? I think most of the folks in this church would say, let the kid live. Aren't you glad that Jesus, in the midst of all the demands on him, had enough time to stop and deal with this lady's issue? That's a good role model for us. We are so busy in life. You know, I have this little booklet I like to read called The Tyranny of the Urgent. That we're so busy putting out the fires of the urgent, we miss the important. And Jesus took time. Now, if you read the rest of the story, I'm not going to this morning, the girl ends up dying and everybody goes, oh no, the girl dies. And they're like, haven't you learned the lesson? And the rest of the story is Jesus goes and raises that little girl from the dead, and both the young girl and the old girl both get healing. You see, there's enough of God to go around. God can heal your issue, your issue, your issue, your issue, and my issue. And he has time to deal with all of them. You know, Psalm 51 says it in this way, and King David, after he'd committed that sin of adultery, you know, and tried to do some things to make it right, and it wasn't until he came and confessed his sin. But in Psalm 51, verse 16, David writes, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I'd give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. And that's what this woman had, was a broken and contrite heart. God doesn't, in that environment, isn't just saying that religious exercise. And even in Jesus' day, the Pharisees got to the point where they had all this semantical religion that if you just say the right thing, look the right way, go the right way, give enough money, then you're okay. Jesus saying, no, it's not. It's faith. You know, it says in our text, Jesus knew that virtue had gone out of him, and then the disciples tell him, you know, how can you know this? In verse 32, when he looked around to see her that had done this thing. In Matthew's account, Matthew 9:22 says it this way, but Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, to bolster my argument that Jesus wasn't asking the question, who touched me, in order for someone to confess, he turned around and looked at her, and she knew it. You're here this morning like me, and you have issues. Time won't heal the issue. People aren't going to heal the issue. Religion won't heal the issue. It's not until you and Jesus Christ have an eye-to-eye conversation and you apply faith that the issue can be dealt with. You see, maybe you're here this morning and you have an eternity issue. And you may not even know that, but can I tell you this morning, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have an eternity issue. If you die in your sins, the Bible is very clear that because you're a sinner and you're unholy in the eyes of God, your sin's not atoned for. You can't live in the presence of God for all eternity, because God in his holiness cannot live eternally in the presence of unrighteousness. And so you'll be sent to a place called hell, separated from God, which ultimately what your sin demands and what you volunteered for, because you're saying, God, I don't want this healing. He's offering it to you this morning. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Would you receive that gift this morning by faith? Maybe you're here today and your problem is you've got a bitterness issue. Oh my, I know people that carry bitterness for their entire life. Maybe you're here this morning, you've got a forgiveness issue. Somebody's done you wrong. somewhere in your past. And it astounds me, even for those of us who try our best to forgive and let go, how years can go by. And if you don't make a conscious effort to deal with the issue between you and God, you can hang on to that unforgiveness and it'll destroy you and your relationships. Maybe this morning you have a self-worth issue. You think you're worth nothing. You've been blinded by Satan to believe and come to the conclusion that you're not good for anything, and you've made enough mistakes that you're not of any value. You have that issue. Maybe you're here this morning, you got an anger issue. Anything goes on and you just light off like a bomb. Maybe you got an addiction issue. Maybe you got a financial issue. Maybe you got a moral issue. Maybe you got an issue with lying. Maybe you got an issue with gossiping. Maybe you have a critical spirit issue. Maybe you have a health issue. Maybe a marriage issue. Maybe a parenting issue. What's your issue? You got one or two. This morning as we close, I want you to quit thinking it's just going to go away. No, it won't. Quit thinking that this person over here is going to fix it. No, they won't. Quit thinking that if I just do enough, that'll fix it. No, it won't. Deal with it. Faith in Jesus Christ is your only hope. First, it's our problem with our eternity issue. But as believers, if you're a Christian here today, you say, well, I'm saved, so I'm done with faith. No, you're not. Faith is the issue. Faith in your personal relationship, ongoing with Jesus Christ. As Habakkuk says, and the New Testament quotes in Romans, and I think in Galatians, two other times, the just shall live by his faith. The righteous live from faith to faith. 1 John 5:4, boy, that's a great verse of scripture. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world. What is it? Even our faith. Ephesians 6:16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. When Satan brings that issue in front of you, if you haven't dealt with it by faith, you're going to be defeated. If you don't pick up the shield of faith and realize on a forgiveness issue that you've given it to God and you've given it to the righteous judge, if you don't do that, that issue is going to pierce your very soul. Mark chapter 4. The disciples are in the middle of a storm and they panic and Jesus is sleeping and they get all mad at him and they wake him up. And when they wake him up, Jesus looks at him and he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? It's a faith issue. You see, in your walk with Christ, as you seek to become like him, as you study your Bible and you're trying to do the right thing day by day, it takes faith in Christ, your personal faith in him, as your daily walk with him, to forgive somebody that doesn't deserve forgiveness. You got to believe that you can leave it at the feet of Christ and he'll take care of it. It takes faith to let go of the bitterness that steals your joy and poisons every relationship around you. To believe by faith and say, God, I'm going to take that bitterness where that person did whatever they did to me, and I'm going to give it to you as the righteous judge, and I know you're going to handle it. I'm going to let go of it. It takes faith to tell God the honest truth. It amazes me how often we as human beings are like that woman, and we think we're going to sneak up on God and we're hiding from God and we think God just won't see us come. It takes faith to love a spouse in spite of maybe what they've said or done. It takes faith to believe that God can work in any situation. It takes faith to believe that God loves you when you've made such a mess. It takes faith. But I would say, take the example of this godly woman, look him in the eye, and by faith believe. Because that is the key to victory in whatever issue you're dealing with, is faith. You know, not only individuals have issues with faith, but even you might say organizationally can have problems with faith. You know, I know as a pastor here at our church that sometimes bad things happen and it gets very discouraging and you think, you know, matter of fact, little insider information, every week that goes by and our church still exists, I realize it's a complete miracle. Because a bunch of sinners, forgiven sinners, declared righteous sinners, just with our old flesh, sitting in this room, are enough to destroy this church 100 times over, beginning with the one who's sitting right here. I recently got one of our missionaries sent us their monthly newsletter, and from Drive-In Ministries, and I appreciate Brother Mike wrote a wonderful piece on what is Christian success. And you might define success as dealing with issues and getting victory over issues in your life. And by the way, I believe you can get victory over bitterness. You can get victory over some of these things in your life. And even in the case of someone like me that deals with a health issue that the world says and the doctors say is never going to go away, you know, the faith is still the victory. But Brother Mike wrote about success in the Christian life and what that really looks like out of Hebrews chapter number 12. And basically, he talks about how believers who lived successfully according to God lived it by faith, and they had to persevere, and they had to have patience, and they had to have endurance. And Brother Mike said, you might say that perseverance, patience, and endurance, you add those together, they're all kind of the same yet distinct. Perseverance plus patience plus endurance equals success. And then Brother Mike went on to say in his article, and I thought this was profound. I never say this about Brother Mike being profound, so you know, this is a first. Just kidding, Brother Mike. But he said this. He said, I've come to believe that in missions, perseverance, patience, and endurance are more like a way of life than an occasional necessity. See, you and I want to deal with our issues when it becomes a hot spot. We want to run around and say, how do I handle my issue? And you come to people like me, which is fine. I'm here for you. But we run around, oh, why don't I get my issue solved? And then when it dies down, we go back and do the same thing we were doing. Brother Mike's saying, perseverance and patience and endurance, faith, success, and believing in God is not just an occasional necessity, but it's a way of life. If you don't get that, you'll never get permanent victory and have sustained success over the issues through the Holy Spirit's power in your life. And I can tell you, Brother Mike, if I called him up here, which I won't because he'll hog the microphone, but if I call Brother Mike up here, he'll be up here in a few weeks. Drive-In hasn't always have it easy. If you were to ask Brother Mike, who is the director of Drive-In, does Drive-In have issues? Just like, does Open Door have issues? Yeah, we got issues. Drive-In has issues. They have money issues. They have, last year they had two very godly men in India that were on their way to do a drive-in event to share the good news through a movie in India, were involved in a car accident, and two godly men, two dads, two husbands, lost their lives. That's an issue. I can tell you, Brother Mike has building issues, property issues, zoning issues, if you're listening in the city, construction permit issues, lighting issues, fencing issues, water issues, paint issues. Have I got enough issues, Brother Mike? Getting there. I'm warming up. Board issues. His board was here this weekend. We partner with Drive-In corporately, but we also have a couple of the missionaries that serve with Drive-In that we support. One of our own young couples here going to Colombia, and then Brother Jim in Romania. But we also partner with the Ojos, one of our missionaries. Remember Brother Ojo in Nigeria? I think Allison has a picture of Brother Ojo back there. And I thought it was interesting as I was thinking about issues. In Nigeria, they use Drive-In as part of their ministry. And in the latest newsletter, I thought I'd share this with you. Through July this year, July to September this year, the ministry there in Nigeria under Brother Ojo held 34 mobile meetings. 34 different times they went and set up a movie and showed the Jesus film or Facing the Giants, some faith-based film, to 34 different crowds. Of those 34 different crowds, they had 7,804 people in attendance. Not bad, is it? And of those 7,804 people, 948 made decisions for Jesus Christ. Why does that happen? Because of the absence of issues? No, Drive-In has issues. But faith, persevering in Jesus Christ through the issues. I have issues. You have issues. Deal with your issues. Lord, thank you for the teaching of your word this morning. Lord, thank you for the way that you love us. And you gave us the example this godly woman who experienced this healing. Lord, we recognize her healing was a physical one, but I think also she had some spiritual healing that day. And Lord, I know this morning that folks may have some emotional healing they need. Maybe there's some spiritual healing. Lord, maybe there's somebody watching online that's never had a time in their life where they received the gift of God, the gift of eternal life through the finished work of the Lord Jesus, dying on the cross and rising again for their sin. Lord, I pray if that's the need of somebody watching, Lord, I pray right where they are that they would simply turn to Christ, acknowledge they're a sinner, but just say, Lord, I want to be forgiven. I want to receive by faith what you're offering to me. Lord, I pray for Christians out there who are dealing with issues. And Lord, I know every one of us is dealing with issues. Lord, I pray that a Christian wouldn't be sidetracked, that a marriage wouldn't be destroyed because of the lack of dealing with an issue, of coming to you honestly. Lord, I pray for each individual that has some issue that's on their heart this morning. Lord, I pray that they would respond in their personal relationship with you. Lord, that they'd see that the solution is not in time. It's not in other people. That their primary issue is between you and them. Lord, thank you for the way you heal us. In Jesus' name, amen.